Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. 2 years ago, Living Arts of Tulsa had an August hold filled in their exhibition schedule, and someone along the way decided to have a show for Tulsa artists and their work about the city. The inaugural O Tulsa Art Show was a huge success, with both artists and audiences eager to do it again. Well, Living Arts has now created a biennial juried exhibition of O Tulsa, first of which opens this evening, featuring over 125 works by nearly 100 artists in nearly every visual arts genre. Tulsa artists, or those who have lived here, were asked to create work that either celebrated or critiqued our city. And there's work in the show that do both, even a few that do both at once. The show features some of the city's best-known artists, with a number of lesser-known and new artists as well. And that was a desired outcome by my guest today, Steve Liggett, Executive Director of Living Arts. He joins us along with Diane Solomon, who's co-chair of the biennial. O Tulsa will open tonight with a reception from 6 to 9, along with awards for the top works in the show. And the show continues on display at Living Arts of Tulsa through August 25th. Steve Liggett and Diane Solomon are my guests today on Studio Tulsa. Steve and Diane, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
O Tulsa opens tonight, and this is the second exhibition, and really you have built this exhibition up compared to last time. I think the success of O Tulsa 2 years ago was just really great. I mean, you had artists really turn out for this event, and audiences.
Yeah, Melanie Fry came to me and actually talked to me about having a small woman's show, and as we talked, it grew into a very large group show that then she curated. And over time, people came to me and said, you know, we got to do this show again. Let's do it every year. And it evolved into a juried biennial, which this is the first biennial, actual biennial piece that we're doing. But yeah, it did start 2 years ago with that group show.
And I assume that you'll continue to do this every 2 years if it continues to be
successful?
That's
the plan. Yeah. The plan is to have a time in the calendar every 2 years where we can actually challenge artists to put in their best works. And hopefully over, you know, a number of years that it will actually grow into a multi-venue biennial, the same as many larger cities, you know, Venice and all over the world actually have a biennial that showcases, you know, worldwide contemporary art. And what we want this to be is a local snapshot of Tulsa contemporary art at this point.
Now, I know that the prospectus said to celebrate and critique Tulsa. And what I was really struck by seeing the show this time compared to 2 years ago is the change of focus in artists, because, I mean, there's a lot more celebration than critiquing in this particular show.
Well, I would agree with that, because I noticed that there seemed to be less of a harsh criticism, especially on racial views. It seems as if some of that has toned down considerably. It's hard to know why that is happening. There could be many elements in our society that are impacting the feelings of people towards each other.
I guess I was struck by the fact that Living Arts is right in the heart of the Brady District, and this is sort of an artist mecca compared to other times in Tulsa history where you have this district that's really devoted to the visual arts as much as it is. You know, artists are happy. there's probably more attention given to the visual arts than it ever has been in Tulsa's history.
I think it's hard to group things into a package and say,
sure,
this is what artists feel. I think there's several pieces in this show that actually address the issues going on with the racial tension, and really more than just the racial tension, just the controversy surrounding the name and some of the issues that have recently come up about that. There's some really strong pieces about gun control in this
Yes, there was
exhibit.
There was a wonderful like old-time placard, and I you're going to have to remind me who that is, but it was like...
I think the artist's name was Cruz.
Yeah, Wayne Cruz. Yeah, Happiness is a Warm Gun Show.
Yeah, and it's just this, it's almost like a placard out of the 19th century. You know, it has a very strong title, and it's basically, you know, any weekend with a gun show is a good weekend. I think that's made a comment on the artwork.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I was thinking about even something like Walt Costi, who I know is very critical, you know, in his art of social situations around here. You know, he has one that's a strong poem visual piece that is very strong about some of those issues you talked about. And very political. It's called Oh Yes, This is Tulsa. But then right next to it is a very beautiful looking painting of downtown Boston Avenue called Sunday Morning Boston Avenue. I mean, there's a lot of love in this show too, which I thought was interesting because I think the tone has changed from 2 years ago a little bit, in my opinion. What do you think, Steve?
Well, I think that, again, it's a mixed bag. We have issues, and yet we love this town. You know, I've lived here a long time and done a lot of things here and had many opportunities to leave, but there is something that is a magnetism about Tulsa that causes many of us to stay. And yet we have problems with our city just like anybody else. So it's a combo, you know. You may feel the celebration more than the critique, but it's interesting. When you open it up to a juried show and you say, we're going to have this, and we sent out a prospectus throughout the community to all artists that either live currently in Tulsa or have lived in Tulsa in the past, you get new people that surface that you didn't even know were out there, which I really like. You know, I really like the aspect of having an opportunity, a challenge for artists, new artists, old artists, whatever. And they came to the surface, and they have like some really fresh pieces in this show. People like Grace Grouthaus that has a piece that deals with the oil fields of West Tulsa. And then you have a new piece that she's done that is just exceptionally vibrant and kind of like a snowy downtown scene.
So yeah, it's like it was a 3D box almost. It was like there was layers. It was almost like a box, and there was an image in the back, and then there was about two or three different layers of screens or scrims in front of it. It was very nice, very nice.
She's doing some backlit, really beautiful things. It has LED lights in the piece itself.
Yeah. Let's talk about the size of the show. Did you have any idea going in, Diane, how big the show was going to be?
We figured we'd have about 100 pieces, and it ended up being about 125 pieces of work. It is a large show, but we didn't want to have a smaller show when you have so much interest from various artists, and they were juried in. So once they were juried in and we hung the show, we thought this is an exceptional show because it shows all types of work, all types of media.
Now tell us who the juror was.
The juror was Ann Wiseman. And she was formerly from Tulsa and now is the deputy director for the State Arts Commission in New Mexico. And she is also a poet and an artist herself. So she has a good understanding of Tulsa, of artists, and how to curate and jury. So we felt like she was a good candidate to be a juror.
And what was the criteria she had as far as it just had to meet her aesthetic? What was the criteria for inclusion?
Well, she had to determine whether or not it indeed had anything to do with the city of Tulsa. And we kept that pretty wide open to her own interpretation. And then we also expected her to the best of her ability from looking at a JPEG, to determine whether the quality of art was suitable to be hung in Living Arts.
Yeah.
And that it also went with the criteria of the show, which was to critique or celebrate Tulsa. It couldn't just be about, you know, New York or whatever, you know.
Now, will that always be the theme that will celebrate or critique
Tulsa?
We're not
sure.
Because, I mean, a biennial is about, you know, what you're doing now, and it may not have, you know, the work may not have
nothing to do. Well, and a lot of artists didn't submit because they felt like they weren't doing anything that really was representative of that theme. So at this point, we're not sure. When you see the show, you'll see the variety of artwork. You'll see the different aspects of artists' version of that. I mean, you know, Rusty Johnson has this piece of two bobblehead wooden carved pieces, and he's becoming quite recognized around the United States for these. One's Woody Guthrie and one's Will Rogers, and I think that that's sort of interesting from a standpoint of, yeah, they both had something to do with Tulsa, but neither one really was born here. So
that's true. And there were other pieces. Chuck Tomlin's had a totally abstract work. There were several abstract works, as a matter of fact. So I thought it was interesting that it wasn't necessarily about Tulsa. It was maybe the Tulsa artist connection or what exactly? I guess she was looking for good work, too.
Well, she was looking for good work, but she was, you know, also looking to have a diversity of work. Because one thing that was fun about this exhibit and that really intrigued me was we brought together a lot of different types of artists from various art groups within Tulsa. Tulsa is a very vibrant arts community. And we have a lot of small groups of artists that band together and work together and critique each other's work, but they don't necessarily know other artists in Tulsa. And that's been the fun thing about bringing all these arts together, because this way they get to know each other, see what the other artists are doing. And it's interesting, I did see some themes kind of overlapping, like a lot of writing and work.
Yes.
A lot of written word.
To me, one of the most really interesting pieces were these visual poems, the one with the photographs, body parts. We were talking about
Marty Coleman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Marty Coleman. Mm-hmm. Marty Coleman has these visual poems, two of them in the show, and they're a poem about a person's limits of saying, you know, various things, and this wonderful juxtaposition of words, but also of photographs, which is really, they're quite striking.
Mm-hmm. He's very a very interesting artist. He does photographic collages and embeds into them images of words, and a lot of times he's dealing with the self-image of the person and where a person may look like something but be very different on the inside. And so he's trying to visualize and put out there very hard subjects like frustration and stress and time management and these kinds of things that we talk about with words, but how do you put them into a picture? How do you visually communicate them? And so sometimes they overlap. Sometimes the words overlap the image.
Well, my guests today are Steve Liggett, the Executive Director of Living Arts, and Diane Solomon, who's the co-chair of the biennial O Tulsa. The O Tulsa Juried Biennial opens tonight at Living Arts and will be on display through August 25th. About 120 works, and I don't know how many artists, but quite a few. Each artist is limited to two works. Many of artists have two works in the show. And it runs a gamut from abstract to very impressionistic, very sort of modern realism. I mean, that's the other thing is, you know, I saw something that was very precisionist, you know, 1920s precisionist piece. You know, heavy impostos at other times, typical street scenes, as well as a lot of people looking at our skyline. And, you know, some real and some imagined. There was one artist who had sort of an imaginary skyline, and it was the skyline of the old buildings in Tulsa, and it was very cool. And I know that your
treasures, Anka Dodson calls them, of the Deco period of Tulsa. There's also a really great installation in the front corner installation site by Bryce Brimer that deals a lot with the homeless in Tulsa.
It's basically a homeless lean-to shack.
Right.
Right in the very front.
On three sides. And then the high rise of the BOK Center, the BOK building, and some of the really modern pieces. But that was actually a collaboration between the artist and homeless folks at the Day Center, who actually painted and did some of the writing on the outside of it. And when you go inside, there are these beautiful portraits of homeless folks in Tulsa and some statistics and things like that. But I was really struck with how beautiful the photographs of these guys were and gals. So, and also then there's the very biting piece by Michael Christopher dealing with his feeling about surplusing art supplies and desks and things like that from the Tulsa Public Schools.
Yeah, that was, and that has a lot of humor in it as well, but, and the name is Everything Must Go, and it's a picture of the golden driller, and all the figures are turned into little pigs, and the golden driller has a pig snout, and instead of holding an oil rig, a derrick, he's holding a metal football, and you're seeing all the art instruments, and it says, Tulsa School Arts Clearance, and there's a lot of little things in there, like the stylized Martha Graham pose by Andy Warhol. He's got a little pig doing that stylized pose with, you know, the leg outstretched. It's a very famous image, and it's just a lot of humor. And there's a lot of humor in this show. There's another work that imagines the Tulsa Driller in the year 4545, which is, I just laughed out loud when I saw the title, because basically all you see is the very top of his hard hat and a little sand and a little rebar sticking out.
Yeah, Everett Neal, he's a punster. In the year 4545, all that remains of the Golden Driller is his crown button, a salute to George S. Greco, somebody.
Hondonostas.
Hondonostas, yes, who was actually the designer of the Driller.
Yeah, it's just there is a lot of humor in the piece.
Yeah, there's a great animated piece by Mary McNett dealing with the illustrious figure from Tulsa, Gary Busey.
That's right. And she also has a wonderful, wonderful, just crazed drawing of Busey, very large drawing of Busey that's really nice, too. Sort of captures the Buseyness, if you will.
Isn't it nice, though, to be able to have a theme? This is kind of why I like to do these kind of shows. Isn't it kind of nice to have a very general theme that every artist can deal with in some way, shape, or form? I mean, Laurie Spencer takes vegetables and molds them and then casts
them in ceramics.
Yeah, in ceramics, and makes them these whistles in it. Well, yeah. All of those vegetables came from Tulsa, so or the outskirts in Bixby. And so, you know, it's multifaceted how you can approach the idea of Tulsa.
And I found it interesting from the show 2 years ago, you can still see artists working through their themes. Mm-hmm. For example, Mark Lewis, who's been working with a stripping, mm-hmm. Little strips of drawing paper, and he's doing these almost like collages, really.
Yeah, and this is a brand new piece from him. And he had a show there, you know, like 3 months ago, and this is a brand new piece that he's done since then.
And it was interesting because I don't know if it will eventually be framed or not, but at this point it's unframed, so it's almost like a wall hanging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's nailed it to the wall.
Yeah, and it's a scene of downtown Boston, again, made up with thousands of little strips of paper. And then you have the artist who's been using... I think she's turning manhole covers into ceramics.
Is it Julie Strauss?
Yeah, Julie Strauss. And of course, we saw a piece by her 2 years ago, and there's one that's somewhat like that. And then there's another one where she's sort of playing with the same form in a very different way, which I thought was really interesting too. Which I think is really one of the cool things is watching Tulsa artists as they evolve. And having been there 2 years ago, you're already seeing changes in some of the series.
Yeah, but if you saw it every year, it might not be a large enough increment to make it as fascinating as every 2 years. That's why we did it as a biennial as opposed to an annual.
I'll just point out a few other works that really caught my eye. Maurice Clima. These are very delicate wood pieces, right?
Oh, he does beautiful work.
And they're like vessels, very delicate.
Paper thin.
Yeah, paper thin. And there's one that's sort of more... you know, just a general design, and then the others featuring a scenes of Tulsa in it.
Yeah, actually, go ahead.
Well, they're kind of deceptive works because when you look at them, you think they're going to be very solid feeling, and you pick them up, and the delicacy is just amazing.
They look like ceramics, really,
exactly.
From a distance.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're using ceramic forms, but in fact, they're woodwork pieces.
They're just beautiful pieces. And that was the thing that really struck me because I was getting ready to move one onto a pedestal. And I was, like, really getting my muscles ready to pick it up. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's just so light and airy. I just couldn't get over how he could even work on it that finely and not damage it is amazing to me.
Yeah. But there's also a number of ceramics. Melkhorn Schucker has an incredibly small little house I don't know how you make it out of stoneware and ceramic. But, boy, he did a really amazing job with that. And then there's a large sort of vase piece mm-hmm. that features like Indian motifs around mm-hmm. around the
yeah.
side.
He's he was actually chosen as one of the Native American potters in the United States to go and actually talk to tribes in the Zulu Nation in Africa on how to market their works better. And he is one of the treasures of Tulsa in the ceramics communities. And the piece is. Gorgeous piece. I went to school here at TU and studied with Tom Manhart, and Manhart would have been very proud to pick that piece up because it looks exactly the same amount of weight that it actually is.
Mm-hmm. There was another ceramic piece by Donna Prigmore, which is features sort of a design of the Arkansas River meandering, I think is the name of it.
That's right.
It sort of has, and that was a theme I picked up in a number of pieces where people are looking from above at how the way the river touches Tulsa, you know, because it has a big bend right there, Charles Page Boulevard, goes south, and then it sort of winds to the south. And I noticed that was a motif in several works.
Well, you know, the river, developing the River Park area is, you know, very prominent right now in everyone's mind. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably what they're reacting to. So that's what's interesting about this show, is because it is focusing on what is on the minds of people within the city at this moment.
And there was another theme, too, which is, you know, the new brand new Guthrie Green. I saw two or three artists that were referencing that, you know, from a non-pointillistic Surratt view of people sitting out on the lawn. I think that was Margie Acock, I believe.
Margie Acock did that. And then Phil Radcliffe has a nighttime photograph that's been really manipulated a lot to really get the feeling of what it feels like to be on the green, looking with the canopy of the downtown skyline behind, then the movie going on the top of it. And that's been a huge success. I mean, what a great need that we have. Sometimes when I go down there, I feel like it's like 1969 again. I love it.
Well, getting back to socially conscious work, though, you know, which also goes with 1969, there were a couple of really interesting pieces, I thought. Kali Lizal Diaz.
Yes.
It's called Social Tornado, and it's this meditation on homelessness, which has a design over it, number of pictures of folks that we see but we don't see. And I thought that was a really, really strong piece. And then she has this sort of tornado design over the top of these
photographs. There are going to be some pieces in this show that really disturb people. And there are going to be some pieces that really make people question, how does this relate to Tulsa? What is it about this piece? Because that always happens when you have a theme shows. How does this actually fit the theme? But and that's the beauty of some artworks, I think, that, you know, you have to look as closely as you can, and you don't understand it all, so you have to come back again and again to actually look at it and think about it.
Another piece was a Louise Higgs Brainstorm, Charles and Filippo Rethink West Tulsa, which is a very large graphite drawing, it looks like to me. And it's, you know, that forgotten part of Tulsa, West Tulsa, and two guys sitting on a very abandoned, old-looking playground. And in the back you see our industry belching, and it's a very strong piece, too.
Well, and West Tulsa is starting to develop now, too.
Yeah, that's true. My guest today is Steve Liggett, Executive Director of Living Arts, Diane Solomon, co-chair of the O Tulsa Biennial, which opens tonight at Living Arts, is on display through August 25th. And there are some of our big names in Tulsa art, as well as a lot of new people, too. Who were some of the new people that caught your eye, Diane?
Linda Law. I didn't know Linda, and I really like her piece. It's called Serenity, and it is looking underneath the bridge over the river, and I just thought that was such an interesting viewpoint to look at, and I really liked her work.
Mm-hmm. Just a little acrylic on canvas.
It's entitled Serenity, and it's just a very clever composition, and I really liked how she did that.
This is the first show that Ray Piercy has ever been a part of also. He's a columnist he's been in several different magazines and newspapers, but he has a piece called Gun Haven 360, which is extremely surreal. I mean, it looks like it could have been painted by Dalí. And
incredible sky.
Very strong piece. Yeah. He talked about a little bit to me that it was a reaction to the killings of the three African-American folks here in Tulsa. And we'll be actually featuring some of the artist's statements over on our Facebook page to be able to give people glimpses into the reasons why they did these.
Yeah.
And I want to mention one more. Drew Robinson at the Ballroom. That's a colored pencil piece. It's phenomenal. I couldn't believe it was colored pencil when we first hung it up. I had to go back and look at it a couple of times.
I didn't even know that was colored pencil. I did see that piece, and it was, you know, it's a picture of the Canes Ballroom, and in colored pencil. And I guess we must have a little colored pencil community because Cynthia Marcoux is also working in that.
For a long time. Yeah. Just exquisite photorealistic pieces with her work. And Joe Lynch has a great pencil. That's actually a watercolor and pencil. But she has a piece called Gold in the Vault, which is a very different view of the inside pieces in the Phil Tower building.
Yeah. One thing I noticed about Cynthia Marcoux, and there were other artists like this as well, you know, you can see them working on two different series. And in her case, there is a 66 Motel colored penciled piece. And then she does another piece in colored pencil, I think, as well. But it's very different. It's a Monopoly set, but it's set to Tulsa. And there's very strong political statements in that. And, it's a 3D sort of mixed media piece that takes some Monopoly themes and puts a little social comment on there.
Yeah, she has always done almost photorealistic pieces with her work, but she's moving more into a little bit more political angles on her pieces.
Now, there's some very large works, too, in this show as well. We've mentioned some of them, but two that we haven't mentioned is John Hammer's Backside of Tulsa, which is a look up the skirts, so to speak, of the Golden Driller.
Yes, that was so politically correct.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with you on that. No, that was a very strong piece, and it's an amusing piece.
It's an amusing piece, and the colors on it are just incredible, too, because he's using some really vibrant color in there, which I thought was really cool, too. And there's also a very large look at, it's sort of an unusual view of downtown, because it's basically from the expressway, looking at the canes the way we're not used to seeing it off the expressway, down towards downtown. It's called Main and Easton by Roger Disney, and it's a very, very large piece.
The beautiful piece, too. I mean, Roger Disney has had a studio over in Living Arts' lab for a couple of years now, and he has just grown and grown and grown with his work. And this is captures the movement, I think, of an excitement in that part of downtown Tulsa now better than anything I've ever seen anybody do.
And the nice thing about this, one of the other things that's nice about this show, not only are you bringing all these Tulsa artists together, people can purchase the work, too.
They can.
Yes, they can. Everything is for sale. And that was one of the requirements for the show, because mm-hmm. it's disappointing to come in and see a piece you like, and then you have a not-for-sale sign on it. So yeah. We did not want to have that.
So is a portion benefiting Living Arts, or is it just benefiting the artists?
It also benefits Living Arts mm-hmm. for their continuous education programs.
Well, I hope a lot of people come out tonight. You're going to have a whole bunch of artists there. And I think that'll be one of the most interesting things. You'll have this sort of melting pot of all these artists that, Diane, you were talking about earlier. The fact that people work in small groups and all of a sudden there'll be new acquaintances made. And so it should be a fun night for the opening.
And I hope that will happen. You know, we have every artist in there. I think our youngest artist is 18, and she has never exhibited before. And her name is Camille Rutherford. And she was so cute when she brought in her work, and it's very good photography. So you'll see that she's our young one, and then you have very experienced professors who are bringing in work and exhibiting along with her. And that's really a fun thing to have happen.
Well, I'm excited about this. The show 2 years ago was great. I've seen a good portion of the show this year, and it looks equally great. I hope this is a long tradition. Oh, Tulsa opens tonight at Living Arts. Steve and Diane, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Steve Liggett is the Executive Director of Living Arts. Diane Solomon is the co-chair of the O Tulsa Biennial, which is hosted by Living Arts, which opens tonight with reception and awards from 6 to 9 at Living Arts and will continue on display through August 25th. Of course, tonight is a part of the Brady Arts District Art Crawl. Both Steve and Diane have pieces in the show as well. The information at livingarts.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.